Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 33 to close at 23,434. S&P 500 up 20 at 2,581. NASDAQ Composite with a big day, up 144 points at 6,701. That's a record high close for the NASDAQ Composite. If you're wondering about celebrations, the appropriate thing is chips and salsa, just saying. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps up 10 at 1,508. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.43%. Oil up $1.39 at $54.03 per barrel. Gold up $7 at $12.74.20 an ounce. For the week, the Dow rose 0.5%. The S&P 500 gained 0.2%, and the NASDAQ advanced 1.1%. Today was a 2.2% gain. Huge move. The S&P has notched gains for 7 straight weeks, its longest weekly winning streak in 3 years. Russell 2000 index was down 0.1% for the week, but who needs small caps when the big tech stocks are going crazy? For the year to date, the S&P 500 is up about 15.3%, the Dow up 18.6%, NASDAQ up 24.5%, and the Russell up 11.1%. Well, we knew this was going to be a big day for the tech sector after several companies reported strong earnings after the closing bell yesterday. The S&P Tech Index led the way higher, up 2.9%. The index notched its best day since March 1, 2016, and is up nearly 35% on the year versus the roughly 15% gain for the S&P 500. Google parent Alphabet gained 4.2%. as its revenue got a boost from advertising sales. Microsoft jumped 6.4%. The world's largest software company reported further gains from its cloud computing services. Apple up 3.5%. The company allayed concerns of muted demand for its 10th anniversary phone. The iPhone X, unsurprisingly, sold out of its pre-orders within 10 minutes, or at least the pre-orders it's allocated to its website. Likely pre-orders are also sold out at its retail operations at this point as well. Intel up 7.3% after its quarterly results topped estimates, and the chip maker raised its full-year forecast. Amazon up 13.2% after reporting a quarterly sales surge and better-than-expected earnings. Amazon, of course, is already ubiquitous. An estimated 2/3 of U.S. households subscribe to its Prime membership program. But aside from the packages that come to your door and a few forays into hardware, the company can still grow sales by 35% in North America, and their cloud business saw sales jump 42%. And for Jeff Bezos, this was about a $7 billion day, meaning that he may now be the world's richest man. Both Amazon and Google now trading above $1,000 per share. Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, these are the new blue chips. Maybe toss in Facebook, Netflix, maybe an Nvidia. Today, the FANG stocks, just those five stocks, added $181 billion in market capitalization in just a few hours of trading. For the sake of comparison, Goldman Sachs has a market cap of $93 billion. This was double that. This year so far has been a big one for these companies. They've added nearly $1 trillion in value. They might top that mark next week when Facebook and Apple report earnings. If you own at least a few of these stocks and you've just been holding, you have been rewarded. Even as these stocks have grown massively, they can still deliver growth that seems more like a small-cap stock sprinting out of the gate. That does not mean they will continue to go up in a nearly straight line. They all face certain challenges, but they all remain innovative and profitable until further notice. Trump likes to claim credit for the record highs on Wall Street, even though we've been in a bull market for more than 8 years. And what he doesn't mention is that the rest of the world has gotten richer faster at the same time. American equities are now worth $28.4 trillion, having swelled almost $3 trillion since he took office in January, but they've lost ground against the rest of the world. All stocks across the globe valued at $89.9 trillion. U.S. shares make up only 31.6% of that total, and that's the lowest proportion since November 2011, or a few months after the U.S. flirted with default. And it's sunk from the 11-year high of 38.3% set in December under then-President Obama. Earnings growth for the third quarter is now 6.7%, according to Thomson Reuters data. Of the 273 companies that have posted earnings in the S&P 500, 74% have topped expectations. That compared with 72% beat rate over the past four quarters. Not all earnings were positive, however. Chevron's 4.1% fall weighed on the S&P today and the Dow after the oil company's profit missed expectations. The nation's gross domestic product expanded at an annualized rate of 3% in the third quarter. That according to the Commerce Department's first estimates. Economists initially expected that Hurricanes Harvey and Irma would deal a blow to the country's steady growth, but destruction wrought by the storms was outweighed by the continued spending of consumers and businesses. The economy is experiencing its fastest growth spurt in two consecutive quarters since 2014, but it is highly unlikely that full-year growth will reach 3%. The first quarter was tepid. Projections for the current quarter hover around 2.8%. Personal consumption, although down from the previous quarter, grew at a 2.4% rate, and non-residential fixed investment, that's a measure of business spending, that expanded at a robust rate, 3.9%. Spending on equipment increased at a rate of 8.6%. Companies poured money into capital improvements. Businesses may be investing in computers and industrial equipment in response to a tight labor market. It can be hard to accurately measure the full effect of a natural disaster immediately after it occurs. Hurricanes Harvey and Irma left 600,000 to a million vehicles needing replacement. Car sales spiked in September, reaching their highest level since 2005. Now, those car purchases are counted toward GDP growth, but the destruction of all those cars is not subtracted. The 3% GDP growth figure released was the government's first estimate of economic output for the quarter, and it will be revised twice. The government in Madrid, Spain, sacked Catalonia's president and dismissed its parliament hours after the region declared itself an independent nation. A new regional election will be held in Catalonia on December 21st. As well as removing Carles Puigdemont as head of the autonomous region, Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy also fired its police chief and said central government ministries would take over the Catalan administration. Several European countries, including France, Germany, and the U.S., also rejected the independence declaration and said they supported efforts to preserve Spain's unity. The crisis has now reached a new, possibly dangerous level as independence supporters have called for a campaign of disobedience. The main secessionist group, the Catalan National Assembly, called on civil servants not to follow orders from the Spanish government and urged them to follow peaceful resistance. CVS Health has made an offer to acquire Aetna for more than $200 per share or over $66 billion, making it the biggest deal of the year. Yesterday, Amazon.com said it has received wholesale pharmacy licenses in several states and is planning to move into online prescription drug sales, potentially posing an existential threat to brick-and-mortar pharmacies. That possibility has hit shares of most drugstore operators on fears that the online retailer would leverage its vast e-commerce platform in prescription drug sales. The CVS Aetna deal could create a one-stop shop for customers' health care needs, everything ranging from employer health care and government plans to managing benefits and running drug stores. This has not been an easy year for brick-and-mortar retailers, and today JCPenney took a hard hit, down 15% after warning of a deeper-than-expected loss in the third quarter. The retailer is trying to revamp its apparel inventory by liquidating less popular items. While the effort will lead to a comparable store sales gain, it's been a costly endeavor, resulting in a loss last quarter. The move spotlighted key problems for the department store field: hard-to-sell inventory and a reliance on steep discounts to move stock. JCPenney also has been shuttering poor-performing stores in a bid to better match supply with demand. It's been a very bad week for General Electric. GE cut cash and profit forecast while reporting earnings that fell well short of Wall Street estimates. Investors also bracing for a possible dividend cut. Shares dropped every day this week, pushing the stock down 13% on the week. That was GE's worst weekly drop since March 2009. With about $26 billion of market value wiped out over the past 5 days, the loss for GE shareholders this year has now reached $100 billion. Volkswagen reported net profit in the third quarter fell about 50% to 1.1 billion euros. The company set aside 2.6 billion euro to cover the unexpectedly high cost of repairing diesel cars in the U.S. that contained illegal emissions cheating software. VW had warned last month that the emissions scandal would cut into earnings. After VW admitted to the scandal, the company vowed it would make electric cars affordable for the masses. One way that Volkswagen was able to still report a profit in the quarter, though, was by cutting spending on research and development. So in a twisted sort of way, the cost of the scandal is hurting the transition to clean electric cars. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 33 at 23,434. The S&P 500 up 20 at 2,581. And the NASDAQ Composite with a big day up 144 at 6,701. That's a record high close, 2.2% gain on the day. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, text, audio, and much, much more at eatthebankers.com.